It's good to see you here today. It's a wonderful, wonderful Easter Sunday that we can come together and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before we get into our series today, our series is called Because He Lives. We are doing stories. This is based on Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's our theme today is because he lives, we live. Because he was raised, we were raised. Because he was raised in new life and in immortality, guess what? We are raised too. And we can live a life of victory. I'd like to just thank all of my other guys and gals that shared the first week. It was Robbie Dawkins. The second week, it was Tanya Jarrett. Friday night, it was Terry Randall. And today, it's Miss Brandy Cox. We're glad to have her here today. She's one of our girls that abandoned us, moved away. I never will forgive her husband. He's sitting right back there, and he's a rascal. He got promoted and moved away, and but I tell you what, it's God is using her in such a way, it's amazing. But there's a story that goes before that. It hasn't always been that way. Didn't start out that way, and it's not how we start. It really is important. It is, but it's not what counts. It's how we finish. And, you know, as you were sharing your story first service, I was thinking how important it is for us to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And, you know, if you don't have that, it's difficult. And it takes a miracle of God for you to ever really make it. So, you're already emotional.
I am. I'm just grateful.
Yes. Well, let's go back and let's begin your story.
Okay. I think I want to start when I was 10. My mom came up to me. When I was 2, my mom left me on a doorstep, and my grandparents were called to come and get me because I was left for collateral at a dope man's house at 2 years old on the doorstep. So my grandparents adopted us, and I found out we were adopted, my brother and I, when I say we, excuse me, I was adopted as the IRME statements, right? Okay. So I found out I was adopted when my mom came up to me, and I didn't know who she was, but she was like, she told me who she was, and she took me to her house, and I met my half-brother and sister and my stepdad, and I was 10 at this time.
So you went to live with them?
Well, yeah, it took a little bit of court, you know, but they gave me back to my mom. And that's when I was introduced to drugs. When I was 10, I was introduced to pot about 2 weeks after me being with my mom. And about 2 weeks after that, my hands and feet were being tied to the bed and meth was being shot into my arms.
By your parents?
By my parents. while my hands and feet were already tied, my stepdad and my mom took turns, you know, molesting me. And they would sell me to the pimp for their drugs, take me to truck stops and sell me there for their drugs so that they could stay high. And, of course, so that they could keep me high so I was comatose. I didn't realize what was going on. But this happened for a while, living in a house with no power, no electricity, no water, and not really knowing what to use or how to use it if I had any properly. So I was sent to the nurse one day for malnutrition because I had sores all over my body from not taking a bath and from needles, from needle marks. And I was, like I said, I was 10. and this nurse told me about God. This is the first time I ever even heard that there was one that existed. My last name used to be Barnes. And so everybody used to call me, like, all throughout, I guess from the 10 to the 16 years old when I quit school in 16. And everybody used to call me Barnyard Ape because I stunk so bad because I never took a bath. I just would go. And, you know, when drugs are coming out of your system, for somebody who doesn't take a bath, it makes it, like, 10 times worse because the drugs coming out of your system when you're sweating it out, it's pretty bad. I didn't know it. I didn't know it at the time. So then when I was 16, and I was cooking drugs, I started prostituting on my own, making my own decisions. I was a victim of what they were doing to me for a while, and then I just started making my own decisions. I started deciding, well, if I'm going to be doing this, I'm going to get something out of it. I'm not going to just be doing it for my parents. Then it was become my addiction problem. It wasn't to support their addiction. I needed to support my own at that time. So I started cooking drugs. I started manufacturing methamphetamines. And I went to prison. I went to prison for 7 years.
How old were you when you went to prison?
18.
18.
I did a lot of juvenile detention centers all throughout. You know, I remember the first charge I ever caught. I was 16. It was for stealing dream catchers. I was stealing dream catchers at the Cave City Watermelon Festival because I was so tortured when I went to sleep. I thought maybe it would help. I thought maybe they would catch my nightmares. I don't always willing to try anything. So in that time I had a wreck too. I was on my way doing whatever I was doing, and I was driving, and I went to pass somebody in the van that I was driving, and the passenger got killed. I was thrown through the windshield. The car rolled over my head and crushed my skull. I'm supposed to be. I was clinically dead. Like, and they air-fighted me and tried to charge me with murder. So I went to prison, and you would have think that would have been my rock bottom, but it wasn't. I was Jane Doe when I went to prison because I had been so used to lying about who I was, telling people a different name, being who they wanted me to be at that time while I was prostituting. That way, you know, just to be who they wanted me to be at that time so I could get what I needed. I could get the money that I needed, or I could get the room for the night, or I could get the drugs that I needed at that time. And so I was Jane Doe. I was such in a dark place that I forgot my name.
You know, sometimes the media projects that lifestyle is so glamorous. And, you know, sometimes we hear about prostitutes. I remember a couple years ago, we heard about prostitutes on West Side, and some church people kind of got up in arms and we got prostitutes. But, you know, we never really know what happens in a person's life to lead them into that kind of lifestyle, that they do that not because it's a glamorous lifestyle. They're trying to survive. They're trying to survive. You know, and Jesus ministered to a lady basically who was a prostitute. And so we need to learn about the grace of God. We need to really be, we've had such grace given to us that we need to give grace to others. Is prostitution bad? Yes, it's horrible. But it's an entrapping lifestyle, and one that is a downward spiral into destruction. And that's where you were headed, destruction.
I was right up in the midst of it. I remember just being a scared little girl. I was scared, I guess, even as an adult. I was just always, you know, everybody's questions are why or how or who he is. Whenever that nurse told me about who God was, I wanted to know who he was. I mean, it sounded good, but I never even seen anybody being Christian-like to me at that time. They were all so ugly to me. So afraid, I guess. I don't know. So I went to prison, and figured out my name, figured out I wasn't Jane Doe anymore. I spent 4 years in lockdown of the 7 years that I did. And I did everything impossible just to make sure that I would stay alone. I wanted to stay alone. I didn't want anybody near me. I didn't want to hurt anybody. I didn't want anybody to have the opportunity to hurt me. Because every time I get close to somebody, I got my heart broke every time. I always lost more than I could gain, always. I could make a dollar out of 15 cents real quick, but I always lost it just as quick as I got it. This is gross. Should I say this?
Sure.
Okay. Well, it is. When I was in prison, I don't know if anybody knows anything about jail here or what a beanhole is, but there's a little slot on your door, on your cell door, that they hand you your food to when you're in lockdown. And you can only get out an hour a day. And when you go to lockdown, it's solitary confinement. And it's because you've been fighting, and which I did a lot of that because I didn't like anybody. I didn't. It's probably a nice word to say I didn't like. So when they would come and open the bean hole to give me my food, I would throw my crap out the door, like literally my crap out the door, and just because I didn't want anybody even coming to my door. I just wanted to be alone in my miserable self. I just wanted nobody to bother me. Until one day, this little old lady, the chaplain, she came and she's like, they were all telling her, man, she's going to throw this and that. But she brought me a Bible and she's like, I don't care what she throws at. And I cussed her. I cussed her like a dog. I was like, I don't want that. I almost threw it back at her, but something in me just made me hold on to it. And she had highlighted a verse and put a bookmark in it, Jeremiah 29:11. And it says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, plans for a future and a hope. And I was like, for me?
You didn't think that was possible, did
you? No, and something in me just broke. And I cried out to the God that the nurse had told me about 8 years before that. Not knowing who he was or what he could do or anything about him. I just knew if I wanted answers, this right here, this book right here is going to have the answers. That's what everybody says. So I got out of prison and I got pregnant. And I went back to prison when she was 2 months old. And that was my rock bottom.
Leaving your baby.
Yeah. You know, we got a lot of mamas in here, right? Mama Lotta's, mamas, daddies, all that. You remember the first time you held your baby when they looked up at you and like the love that you felt for them the first time that you held them? When I held Faith, that's my little girl's name, Faith. When I held her for the first time, and she looked up at me, and I knew that she loved me, and the love that I felt for her, the unconditional, without stipulations, devoted love that I had for her, and knowing that Jesus Christ gave his son for me, that and how much I loved, I could never do that. I could never give up my child. I just couldn't. And Jesus did that for me. He gave up his son. I could not give up. There's no way I could give up my child. That's love to me. That's a sacrifice right there. And things started changing for me. When I got out of prison this time, the lady that I was paroling to, my husband's aunt, she said, if you're going to get out of prison, you're going to go to Celebrate Recovery, you're going to go to church. And I'm like, really didn't have any plans. Honestly, I didn't when I got out of prison. I was telling her what she wanted to hear, and I was going to get out, and I was going to go just because I had to. I was going to do the bare minimum, and I fought it, and I bucked it the whole way. But I got out, and guess where the church was that I came? Woo! I was not a very nice person.
I've heard that story.
I was a very bitter. Oh, I'm sure that there was like a dark cloud just hovering over me. I'm sure of it. And Sarah Isley, I used to live with her. She said,
there she is.
She said, I used to growl at people, so, like, literally growl. I said, okay, I don't want to do this, but something kept drawing me back. Something kept drawing me back to this place, and I didn't know what it was. I wanted a definition. I wanted to know who God was, and I wanted to know how God was, who he was, and I wanted to know, and then I wanted to get up, and I wanted to do what I'm doing, and I wanted to talk, and I wanted to teach, and they're like, nope, you're not doing any of that. So I got mad, and I had these resentments, and then I went and I heard a testimony. I was like, oh, okay, that's why. So I heard this testimony, and I finally broke. I call this my birthday. It was October 24th, 2011 is my birthday.
That's when you accepted Jesus as Lord.
And the feeling of being alone that I felt, had always felt, like despite my negativity, despite my attitude, despite how I growled at people, never one time did they turn their love away from me. Did y'all not open your arms to me? Did y'all not love on me regardless of who I was? I would be like, I'd be in a place, we'd be in the middle of church, and I'd be like, this is uncomfortable. I don't like this. I don't feel comfortable. I'm scared, but I never left. I came back anyway, regardless of how uncomfortable I felt. And I wanted a definition, but what I got was a demonstration of who God was. They say that Christians will know who they are by the love that they have for one another, and that is all I've ever felt every time I walk through the door of this place is Jesus Christ's love for me.
You hear how important that is, church? How important that is.
I was still, when I first started coming here, I was still that scared little girl. Scared little girl, angry at the world, and wanting to know why things had happened to me, and wanting to know what to do about it, and wanting to know who God was that these people were talking about, and seeing it in people, and seeing the joy in their lives. And I'm like, man, I want what they got. I want that. What do I got to do to get that? And so I started reading my Bible, and then I started being selfish with it, and I was kind of thinking, I know for a long time, okay, I got this. This is me, and it wasn't. It wasn't me at all. There's no way I could have done this by myself. Something that was very profound to me that I heard at one point was, whenever sorrow is shared, it's split in half. Whenever you share your sorrow with others, that's why it's important to have a support group, why it's important to share God's love. Because it's split in half. It doesn't hurt so bad when you have somebody shoulder to cry on. And with joy, it's doubled. I mean, joy. You need more joy. Okay, we'll share it with somebody. You can't keep it unless you give it away.
So you begin to grow as you come to church. And we started trusting you to do some things, didn't we?
Yeah, things that I never... Yeah.
Scary.
I said, okay, well, if I can't talk in front of people, and if I'm still scaring people, and if I'm growling at people, at least can I just serve somewhere? Can I do something? And it just so happened that y'all needed a crossroads teacher. And that's what I started teaching.
You didn't growl at the kids, did you?
I didn't growl at
that's
them.
That's good.
I loved them. I was like, man, these are babies. And I guess in my mind, I was still a baby in a lot of ways. But whenever they were so excited, Miss Brandy, coming in, and I was sharing God with them, and I in the same in turn, I was learning about him too. We were learning from each other. That's my secret. I'm not supposed to tell anybody, but
yeah.
My secret is I learned just as much from those kids as they could ever possibly learn from me.
Yes.
Coming in there, because it says out of the mouth of babes, we're supposed to become childlike, but I was still a little girl growing up right along with them. Watching them get baptized and bringing them to Jesus.
You want a lot of those kids to Christ.
A lot of them.
Yep. Awesome.
To this.
Awesome. Yeah. Now, at some point during this journey...
I met my husband.
You met a guy, didn't you? What was that like?
Okay. Well, the first date that we went on... I remember he came to the door and he was like, where's your daughter? And I'm like, we're going on a date. She's staying here. And he was like, no, go get her. This is a package deal. We're going to go. And from that day, he's, yeah.
Wow.
He knows everything that he's here. He knows I feel uncomfortable. Yeah. Whenever he's heard this, but he doesn't want to. That's not who I am anymore. It doesn't define me, but it's important for y'all to know where I came from, to know how God's grace has saved my life. I'm going to get to the good stuff, and that's what I'd rather talk about all day. But my husband knows everything that I've done. He knows everything that I used to be, and he loves me anyway. He loves my little girl just like she's his. You can't, my little Faith.
She is his.
Yeah.
Yep.
God is just, oh my gosh. A blessing upon blessings. Can I get to the good stuff now?
We're there. Let's go.
Okay. So I guess I stayed here, about 5 years?
Not long enough.
Yeah. About 5 years I grew in Christ here and learned who God was and got loved on. And then my husband got a promotion, as Pastor was saying earlier, and we moved to West Monroe, Louisiana. And our neighbors are Phil and Kay Robertson. Our neighbors, like they live right down the road from us. That's who does that.
Yeah.
So, okay, y'all, this is a really big church, but I'm just going to tell you that West Monroe is huge. And the first time I went to Celebrate Recovery there, I was terrified. But I was still my little spitfire self. I mean, I am who I am. I am who he says I am.
That's right.
So I got in there, and regardless of how afraid I was, I shared God. I shared what I knew. I shared who I was. I shared where I came from. And I shared that I needed to plant both of my feet somewhere. And I had one on the ground, and the other one was hanging in the air, and that I felt unstable because I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. I had just come and left everything that I knew, every relationship that I had built, and come to a place that was completely foreign to me because that's what God told me to do. So one of the ladies there, she's like, asked me to give my testimony. And so when I gave my testimony, right afterwards, the lady come up. She does prison ministry. And I'm still on parole, still to this day, till 2019. But they let me go inside the prison and lead a step study while I was on parole and walk back out. Like, it was amazing.
Amen.
The first night I was there, I mean, even though Miss Kayla's next door, you know, you can't really go and talk to her. It's not all like right. They got kind of gates and stuff like that. But Miss Kay was there, and she started, she was like, she heard my testimony. She was like, wow. She saw the God in me and was attracted to that. And she started asking me to come to her groups and things like that. And then I was introduced to Missy, and I started my first job, which was working with Missy Robertson, was working for Laminin, and making jewelry, making pretty jewelry. And she heard my testimony. Well, they had a worship night, and she asked me to share. And then I ended up, God wanted a lot more people to hear it, and I shared it on the 700 Club.
Yes.
It wasn't really scripted. I mean, it was. I had 45 minutes, not 21, so. And then I started going to college. I finished college with a 3.7 GPA, 3.75. I got my degree in social behavioral sciences and I'm a behavior therapist now for autistic kids.
Awesome.
It's taught me a lot being there about working with autistic kids, about looking past behaviors to the person, to the child, and because they don't even realize what they're doing. They don't even know, we got to reinforce positive behaviors. And I'm like, oh, that's what I needed to be doing with my life this whole time.
So when you were in that dark hole, did you ever dream that you'd be doing what you're doing now?
No. I'm a president of a ministry called Fishers of Women. In the Bible it says to come to follow me and I will teach you how to fish for men. Well, now I'm the president of a ministry called Fishers of Women. Some of them are here with me.
Wave at us, girls.
And these are women who have struggled with the same things that I have. But there's women from different walks from everywhere in life that we iron sharpens iron kind of thing. And we're just supporting and serving in every way that we know possible. It's kind of like when Saul turned to Paul.
Yes.
You know, my name was Brandy Barnes, that's Brandy Cox.
Yes. We're so glad, too. Isn't God good? Let's give God praise for this testimony today. Now, I noticed while she was talking, there's a lot of people who come in who's missed a lot of the testimony. We do have another service in about 35 minutes, so if you want to stay, and we're going to do the same thing over again, but we're not through yet. We got some other things to do. Let's give Brandy a good hand. Can we do that?